Well, first of all, thanks for inviting us here. I'm Annelise Kirindongo. I'm the physician lead for the CHW program at Mayo Clinic in Rochester. I have a great team that is back home, and they couldn't be here with me today, so I am the one kind of presenting some of our data to you. First of all, I wanted to say this is my first time here in the conference, and I'm very, very excited because in regards to our program, we're in very, very early stages of the program. Many of the data that we have to share is actually a result of all your work. Sometimes when I'm out there with leadership trying to get more support from the program, I'm using many of the published data that is available out there that is yours as a background for all the work that we hope to be joining and learning from. I have no disclosures today. A little background about our program, about our institutions, who are the players. We're going to talk about our program, few of the results, preliminary results, and some of our learning lessons learned and next steps. First of all, probably if you hear I'm coming from Mayo Clinic, you probably think that you know Mayo Clinic is very well known for their specialty care and for being that kind of tertiary center in regards to referral in the United States and the world. We have practices in Rochester, Arizona, and Florida. But we're also known, and I think that we're getting to do a lot of our sciences and research in how do we provide primary care. So the site for our pilot is Employee Community Health in Mayo Clinic, Rochester. And we take care of about 140,000 patients around our care. And that will include divisions of family medicine, primary care, internal medicine, behavioral health. We're a certified healthcare home, and there is a strong component of the care coordination program. And the care coordination program, I would consider it a different pilot. We're kind of working with them, and our pilot kind of depends on them. But they are also in their cycle of discovering. So in our pilot, our community health workers are actually employees of a community organization. Mayo Clinic has partnered with IMAA, the Intercultural Mutual Assistance Organization, for years, trying to increase capacity in the community, and this is kind of a new area of collaboration with them. So our goal is that we will increase capacity for community organizations to train unemployed community health workers, and then we will integrate them into our care teams. So our community health workers are not Mayo Clinic employees. IMAA provides culturally and linguistic support services for newcomers to Minnesota refugees and immigrants. And their services span from interpreter services to healthcare and social services, workforce development, and now the CHW program. So I want to share a little story with you, and many of you will share this, and I'm sure you have all kinds of stories. Well, for example, one story that I want to share is Mary. It's a 53-year-old woman. Used to be a teacher and got sick with a significant illness that caused her to have significant disability in regards to her ability to walk. Mary became profoundly depressed. And despite having a great access to medical care, a great primary care doctor, a great behavioral team that was following her, she was not engaging in medical care. She was not there to engage in getting better. So a community health worker got deployed to take care of her, and our community health workers do their visits at home. So she was deployed to visit the patient in the house. The patient didn't want to actually have the visit in the house or didn't allow the community health worker in the house, so they met at the deck of the house, in the back of the house. That was the first visit. And there are actually three visits outside in the house. But our community health worker was able to see through the window that there was a lot of clutter in the house, and the house was in a very, very bad shape. It happens that, you know, there was significant trust developed that our community health workers was welcome in that house. And I'll tell you later as I go through about that patient story. So a little background about CHWs, about maybe Minnesota, and I share with my colleagues here from Hennepin County in regards to many of those activities that have been happening in the state for the last couple of decades. So in Minnesota, there is a standardized competency-based CHW curriculum, and in other states also. And at Mayo Clinic, you know, we have been doing kind of small-scale activities There was a CHW work group in 2008 and a very small study, and that was mainly a research study in 2009. There was the development of that internship, a CHW internship, and as I said, the CHW has been training the community, and the internship was in community sites. And one of the internship sites was our employee community health. There was a forum because we need to have a workforce and we need to have people to hire them. So we were able to participate in a forum in 2009. And there have been definitely there roundtables, and there is consortiums that are still happening, have been founded in 2011, that the purpose of it is to try to build up that workforce. In Olmsted County in particular, there have been multiple groups that have been gathering, trying to lay ground, trying to develop that fertility in the ground for our community health worker pilot to be able to be successful. The funding of our pilot is mainly funded by the practice in employee community health to be able to pay for those hours of CHW, but we also have funding from United Way in Olmsted County for a three-year collaboration. Many of you know about the Minnesota curriculum, but it's a standardized curriculum. It's about 14 credits with core competencies as well as health competencies. And the internship is about 90 hours, as you see, and there is a CHW certificate upon completion. In regards to those competencies, definitely, from advocacy to outreach to communication and motivational interviewing, and basic health competencies in regards to heart disease, stroke, diabetes. As they integrate into our care teams, definitely then there is the specialized training in regards to each of the tools that are used in the care teams. So we have two community health workers, and they participated in training in our sites, and we integrated them in primary care internal medicine, PEDS, as well as integrative behavioral health. So from the patients in care coordination, the most complex patients in care coordinations, those were the ones that were referred to our community health workers. And they needed to have some socioeconomic factor or social determinant of health that was impacting their care. And the programs that I have mentioned there are behavioral health programs that deal with depression, anxiety, as well as adolescent health. So we gather some quality data in regards to our CHWs are co-supervised. So we have a clinical public health nurse, community engagement coordinator that supervises their role when they're working with our Mayo patients. And then they have also a supervisor, site supervisor in IMAA. Our care coordinators actually can order the community health worker. We took it away from the physicians. We thought that they would forget about it or they will not keep them in consideration, so we took them away from them. So our care coordinators inform the physicians that they actually, community health workers, is working with their patients. The community health workers definitely participate in team huddles, patient conference, and consults. 99% of the visits are completed in the patient's house. They continue follow-up support for the patient and the care coordinator by telephone. They complete a social determinants of health tool with the patient in the visit. Again, the visits happen at the patient location as well as their schedule. And they refer as well as track the referral. They provide the information and they hold their hand with the patient until that referral is completed. And what we're doing is that we are actually reporting to all our community sites, like if we refer to public health or to community services or to Channel 1, we actually provide every three months we provide a report saying how many patients have been referred. So far, and this data is up to end of August, we have two community health workers working with us, and it's working with 25 care coordinators. We have been able to serve 240 patients, and we have completed over 600 visits. Each community health worker is taking care of about 50 complex care coordinated patients, an average of 3 visits per patient, but I tell you that we have a lot of people with 1, and we have people with 25. We're trying to do whatever is needed to help that patient. 1.2 hours per direct time per visit, and about 2 hours of indirect time per visit. So following up in those referrals. following up in regards to trying to get what the patient needs. We have provided more than 2,000 hours of patient care and more than 900 hours of team infrastructure development. Who are we serving? All ages, mainly adults, mainly English speaking, that has to do with the demographics of the population, mainly government insurance, mainly females, and all the chronic conditions that we all see every day in our clinics. So what are they doing out there? And that was the interesting part. Our care coordinators, we have some forms of communication, so there is a referral form. And sometimes they said, okay, patient needs transportation assistance. That was the referral idea. And it's amazing when the community health worker comes there and said, yes, the patient needs transportation assistance, but by the way, the patient also needs food assistance. The patient needs, the patient family member needs these. The patient may need dental assistance. The patient, there's all this left. So our care coordinators just kind of say, wow, I didn't know that. So that has been an educational aspect for all of us, and we have permitted that in the pilot. Sometimes people tell us, you're tracking time and they're supposed to be doing a task, and how come you're just letting do others? And I said, this is an exploration pilot and we need to understand the need. And this has been amazing. Daily living from trying to find food assistance, to trying to find clothing to go to work, to trying to actually set up an answering machine. The care coordinator was calling them at home. They didn't know how to set up the answering machine. They never get the messages. All of those basic things. Healthy living, talking about chronic conditions, learning about diet, going to the supermarket and actually trying to see what do you buy, going through people's pantry and see what they have in regards to sodium intake, taking the patient and walking around a block, saying you can do this, you can walk around your block for exercise when patients were very afraid of leaving the home. So very, very basic things. And there is, of course, the referral to all the public programs, including legal assistance, housing assistance, veteran services, all of those. That's what they do when they're with the patient. They work with patient goals, so they set up goals with patients, and they share that through a form that is scanned back into the medical record, and they share goals with the care coordinator. When they're not there with the patient, they're trying to finish those basic needs. They're working on patient engagement. Sometimes our patients call the community health worker and said, could you tell this to my care coordinator? Or, trying to be that link, trying to fulfill that gap. Helping with insurance coverage. They spend a lot of time with the Mayo Clinic business office trying to help our patients navigate the billing and the cost, or trying to get the patient to apply for insurance. All of them are actually certified MinSure navigators, so they help with both with insurance coverage. We have tried to gather some of the data, and we have surveyed patients, CHWs, and care coordinators, and our preliminary data is very, very positive. We have captured human stories and cultural narratives as a way of capturing the quality of the work. We have a form that is filled out by the CHW every time, every encounter that is in the medical record. And that form includes goals of care, what was done, where referrals were done, dates of those referrals, time for education, all of those things. There is monthly consultations with the CHW, that includes CHWs and the care coordinators. There is bi-monthly consultations with the supervisor at IMAA. And there is the Minnesota, there is active participation with some of the colleagues here from Hennepin County in the Community Health Worker Alliance and Roundtable, Supervisory Roundtable. So what have we learned? We learned that And for a physician and for many of the physicians in the room and researchers, sometimes people ask you for data and people ask you for numbers and people ask you for dollar signs. We're capturing all of that data, but we need to understand that this is bigger than that, and to teach organizations the importance of helping with this gap. So we know that a mixed methods of studying, including qualitative and quantitative studies, are important. We know that we have learned that providing individual care in the individual's language, literacy level, and culture is extremely important to engage and to impact their health outcomes. We believe that home visits are critical, and that's why most of our visits are home, at home, and that's our way to expand the reach of our care team into the patient's home to be able to address those social determinants. We have we started with a form, just to not to go to so many committees at Mayo. We started with a form that we needed kind of to fill out, and the community health worker would fill out and we're scanning the record. We know that that was taking too much time for our community health workers, so now we are into an electronic form with specific language that would be much easier for them to fill out, trying to understand their time management. And now we're looking into how to study that better and how to integrate that to the medical record in a better way. So what are our next steps? We had the same problem that many of our colleagues here had in regards to setting, getting paid for. I think that we got paid once, and we got paid $8, and it took about $300 to get the bill out of the door, and I'm not exaggerating. So I am trying to move this to my practice leadership, as this is going to be operational, and we need to understand the cost-benefit there. And we are going to continue trying to work with the billing process, but it's something that I'm not putting too much weight on it right now. I'm putting weight on the importance of the work. We are going to try to expand this to other sites. We started in Rochester. Now we're going to expand to a new site in Rochester and a site outside Rochester. And through my hat with the Office of Population Health Management, I hope to envision that Mayo Clinic will have a community health worker in each site. The difficult part of that is I will need to find a community partner in each site that will employ them, will train them, and will co-supervise them with me. I think that that's important, and we're going to try to stay with that mission, but understanding that that may be somewhat difficult as we go to different states. And in regards to next steps, evaluation and research, we're going to do a qualitative review of that documentation. We're going to look at those. We are looking at those patient outcomes, cost effectiveness, ER utilization, readmissions, and all of that. And we're looking for other tools to evaluate social determinants of health and the impact of quality of life. Final story, final point. Our patient, or in the community, the health worker was able to go inside the house. They saw a big pile of mail sitting at the kitchen counter. Patient has not opened the mail for 6 months. When she was deep in her depression. So she was up to lose her house. There were notes there that she was going to lose the house. So the community health worker was able to, through multiple organizations, including legal advice and housing organizations, to was able to help the patient keep her home. The patient engaged in care. The patient is not able to work, but has been able to volunteer in the community. She feels really, really productive, really good about herself. So that is one of the patient stories that we share. You have many, thousands probably, and many others that we can share too. Again, credits to my team back home, Tara Nelson and Karen Vargas, our community health workers. Jean Gunderson, that is my guru for community health worker. She's my right hand. Mike O'Brien and Joy Bolsbury from our research partner in the community engagement office. Thank you for your time.